Glory to God. Glory to God. I want the cross. I want to preach it. I want to hear about it. I want the choir to sing about it. I want every service to be reminded of it, because I know that's my hope. That's my strength. That my faith in that allows the Holy Ghost to operate fully and completely in my life and in this church. What the beast has may look awful pretty. What the beast offers may look grandiose, but it leads to death, spiritually speaking. As beautiful as this woman was adorned, as costly as the array was that she had on, her clothing, everything to the human eye would look beautiful. To the unspiritual human eye, it would be very attractive. To espouse the religion that this woman represents. The Bible tells us a little bit more about her. It says, as she sat upon the scarlet beast, bedecked with the gold and the silver and the costly array, she had a cup in her hand, a golden cup that was full of filthiness and abominations. I want you to see something about this cup. To look at it from the outside again, it's gold. It's made of pure gold. It would look to be desirable. In other words, it would look to the untrained spiritual eye to be something that would be right and to be desired. But we're getting a view of false religion in this vision from God's perspective, not from man's perspective. You see, the outside of that cup and the gold represents viewing religion from man's perspective. It looks pretty. It looks to be desired. But then we're told what the cup is full of. Filthiness and abominations. The blood of the saints and the martyrs. Religion has done more to kill the message of the cross than any other institution ever invented by man. Religion. Because religion hates the cross. It took me a while to figure that out. I had, about a week back, Brother Swaggart, I was listening to him, and I so understood what he said. He was talking about when the Lord first gave him the revelation of the cross, and how excited he was. And I never will forget the day the lights came on for me. I remember the time. I remember the second. I remember the place like I was there right now. I can see it in my mind's eye. As I sat on the third floor of the A.N. Trotter building in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and we were meeting in an old cafeteria. Some of you have been there for the classes that Brother Lorne taught. Mike, you've been there with me before. And when Brother Lorne said those words, if the believer holds the correct object of faith, he is totally justified before God. I'll never forget that phrase as long as I live. When he said it, it was like the Holy Ghost hit my soul with the lights of heaven. And all of a sudden I understood, oh God, this is what I've been looking for my whole Christian experience. I know, Lord, now that it's by faith I'm justified. That as badly as I want to live 100% holy and righteous in my own power before you, I can never do it no matter how hard I try. But I can rest knowing that by placing my faith in what your Son Jesus did for me on the cross, I can rest in that and know that you then provide all the holiness and righteousness I will ever need on the basis of my faith. Glory! Glory to God! I'm sorry, I've got to shout about it. It's the greatest news any person could ever get or receive. Amen. And Brother Swaggart was saying how excited he was. The same excitement I felt. I knew exactly what he was talking about. And he said, I couldn't wait to tell the body of Christ. He said, I thought, man, this is what every Christian is wanting. This is what everybody is looking for. And when they hear this, they're going to be so liberated and so overcome with joy. And he said, I went out and preached it and lost about half of my church in about 3 months' time. You see, when the cross starts being preached, and a lot of you all know this, you'll find out right away where everybody is spiritually. It'll show up real quick. It's like a spiritual X-ray machine. When the cross is being preached week in and week out, it's going to show where everybody is spiritually. And you know what? Some get the negative revelation of the cross, which they find out, I've been in church my whole life, and what this denomination told me is wrong. What teachers have been teaching me has been wrong. My favorite televangelist has been wrong. And I have been wrong. Now, they'll know that in their heart. Whether they'll admit it externally or not, they'll know that. But you know that they're not willing to let go of that and come to the cross when they become angry and try to silence the message of the cross or try to silence the messenger who's bringing the cross. And it shows where they are spiritually. They're a part of this system that's in the cup of the woman, full of filthiness and abominations. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There are so-called preachers today of the gospel saying this, well, all truth is God's truth. Therefore, we can borrow from Freud. We can borrow from Maslow. We can borrow from Jung. We can borrow from Rick Warren, because isn't all truth God's truth? No, it isn't. Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus Christ is the only truth there is. And if what's being taught or preached does not have Jesus Christ at the center of it, wholly and completely, it is a lie. And this cup, from God's perspective, though it was golden on the outside, what was on the inside of it was abomination to him, because it had tried to quell and kill the true gospel based on the blood of the martyrs and of the saints who, when they preached the gospel, some of them it cost their very lives for them to do it. So from God's perspective, this religious system, though on the outside, looked so clean and so pristine and so desirable, from God's perspective, it was nothing but filthiness and abomination. What strong language to use. Filthiness, filthiness. Let me tell you something. There's no cleansing from sin outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no cleansing from sin. If you're not coming to the cross of Christ to get your sin cleansing, you're not clean. You're still filthy. If you're not coming to the cross of Christ and you think and you have obtained cleanliness spiritually by going to another source, you're committing an abomination before God by saying unto him with your action, what your son did on the cross was not necessary. It was not very important, because I can achieve what I need before you on my own merit, on my own works. It's an abomination before God. But that's why the world embraces this kind of teaching. I watched a video the other day of the general overseer of the Church of God. And I believe the man loves God. I believe he's saved. I really do. But I thought, my Lord, and I'm not smart. I'm not exalting Greg Browning here. I'm trying to exalt the gospel of Jesus Christ. Intellectually, he's one of the most brilliant men probably in the religious world today. His name's Raymond Culpepper. But I thought, what a buffoonery and what a filthiness he's leading these people into. He sat there very profoundly, and I believe he was sincere, and said, what we need is to become more missional. We need to become more missional. This is what God wants for his church, and we're going to become more missional in the Church of God. Now that's insane. God's not concerned about us becoming more missional. He wants us to have a purpose for the mission he sent us on. Just for the fact you go on a mission don't mean God's in it. Just by the fact you have a heartfelt desire to go out and do something does not mean that God is in it. Just because you have a heartfelt desire to carry some kind of gospel to the world does not mean God's in it. What it takes is Christ and Him being crucified and the church coming back to the foot of the cross and repenting there and placing her faith squarely and exclusively in the cross. When we do that, the Holy Ghost will send us. When we do that, the Holy Ghost will do His office work and people will go where they need to go. It'll just happen. Read the book of Acts. I'm not making this up. That's how it happened in the book of Acts. That's how the church is supposed to function. But what is Mr. Culpepper doing? He's leading an entire denomination to place their faith and trust in something other than the cross of Christ. And it's an abomination before God. It's filthiness before God. But were he to stand up and say, we need to return to the foot of the cross, we need to start preaching Christ and Him crucified, he knows they would run him out of the denomination. At his level, they wouldn't hear of it. And as sincere as he is, he's taking them the wrong direction. Sincerity in and of itself means nothing. You can be sincerely wrong. People say, well, he seems so earnest. He seems so full of unction. Those things are good and wonderful in their place. But if it's misdirected, you're being led into filthiness and abomination. I'm going to tell you something. For years, I preached, before I knew the message of the cross, pertaining to Catholic doctrine, that once you gave your heart and life to Jesus, how you couldn't stay in the Catholic Church. I knew that before I got the message of the cross, because every Sunday that you came and took communion and placing your faith in that for your salvation, you're saying to God, you're crucifying the Son of God afresh, as Hebrews talks about. You're telling God, what your son did was not a finished work. I've still got to add something to it every week to make it complete. Now let me take that one step further. Now that I know the message of the cross, I see how that same doctrine, Catholic doctrine, has permeated every major denomination in the world today. Because most of them, I can't speak for individual churches, but most of the leadership of the denominations, they lead people to something other than the cross of Jesus Christ. And they're no better off than the Catholics. If you're leading somebody spiritually for cleansing, for righteousness, for Holy Ghost power, to a source other than the cross of Christ, your cup is full of filthiness and abomination from God's sight. I don't feel I'm making this clear. I don't feel I'm putting it across very well this morning. The heinousness of this. The church looks at human personalities. They look at smooth talkers. They look at education. They look at oratorical ability. They look at the outside of the cup, is what I'm trying to say. They're looking at the outside of the cup. But what's on the inside of it, what those speakers and what those teachers and what those leaders are leading you to is all important in God's sight. Let me illustrate it this way. I use this on Wednesday night. Perhaps it'll make it more clear. In the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus clearly and specifically outlined how God was to be worshipped. In the book of Leviticus, the way the priests were told to make their outfits, their garments of praise, the mitre that went on their heads, the ephod, that went over the chest. All of those elements were very specific in meaning. There's nothing in this Bible that's insignificant. And at Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where once a year the high priest was able to walk into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle where the presence of God was, he had very specific instructions on how he was to carry out that ceremony. And they would tie a silk, thick rope around the high priest's ankle that was about 50 feet long. And on the high priest's outer garment, along the bottom of it, God told him to put bells on it. And on this Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, to offer up the blood of a spotless lamb and throw it on the mercy seat. Israel would be encamped all around the center, with the tabernacle being the center of the encampment. Israel would be encamped all around it, specifically by tribe. And if you study in your Bible how that was laid out, how they were told to encamp, were you to stand on a mountain and look down on it, you would see a cross. I want you to think of that for a minute. Even in how they were told to encamp by tribe, with that tabernacle being at the center, you would see a perfectly formed cross were you to look on how Israel encamped. And as they sat there in stark silence, the whole nation would be silent before God as the high priest would go in to make his offering. And he had very specific jobs that God assigned for him. How he had to stop at the table of showbread. How he had to ensure there was plenty of oil in the menorah to keep the room lit in the Holy of Holies. And when all of that was correct, he would walk in behind the veil of the Holy of Holies where the presence of God dwelt, and all of Israel would sit there in stark silence, listening for the ringing of those bells along the bottom of his garment. Because they knew, as long as they could hear the ringing of those bells, that sacrifice was being accepted. Because if that high priest did one small infraction outside of what God had prescribed for him to do, God would strike him dead. And nobody could go in to get him out. That's why they had the rope around his ankle. They'd have to pull him out if he did one thing wrong, because God would strike him dead. I'm closing now. Pastor, what's the significance of all that to what you tried to preach this morning about this religion of the beast? The significance is this, and what God's trying to show us is this. He is very specific in how he is to be approached and worshiped. And there's one way, according to the New Testament, to approach and worship Almighty God, and that is through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And faith placed in anything other than Christ and him crucified is an abomination to God, and spiritual death is the result of that. God was trying to teach Israel an object lesson. That I am full of grace and mercy and redemption and power, and I'll give it to you if you'll do it like I tell you to do it. That's what God was trying to teach them in the Old Testament system of worship. And they would sit and listen for that ringing of the bells, because they knew as long as those bells were ringing that the high priest's sacrifice was being accepted. Well, the good news for you and I, hallelujah, is that one day at 3:00 in the afternoon on the top of Golgotha's hill, the bell rang for all of eternity when Jesus Christ, our high priest, bowed his head and said, "It is finished, glory to God." Give him a hand of praise this morning. So God wants us to know, in these last days, the purpose of this sermon, the purpose of this message. He will not look askance at false worship. Don't be tempted. And I can't say that. That's right. We're going to be tempted. Don't give in to the temptation to place your faith in something other than Christ and him crucified. This woman riding this beast, her cup on the outside looked beautiful. On the inside, it was full of filthiness and abomination. Let me conversely give you the view from God's perspective. God's system of redemption is not pretty. It's the ugliest thing in the world to the human eye to think that this Christ Jesus had to wear a crown of thorns, had to be spat upon so that it was literally running down his body. This was the Lord of glory. And was beaten nearly to death before they even put him on the cross. And he hangs there 6 hours in sheer agony on that cross for you and I. There's nothing pretty about that. It's the ugliest thing in the world to think about. But oh, what it produces. It produces a pleasing odor to God. to those who put their faith in that. Conversely, true salvation is ugly on the outside, but oh, what it produces on the inside. Glory to God. It allows the entrance of the Holy Spirit into the human heart and soul. So as we close in these last days, Jesus is coming soon, church. Jesus is coming soon. We need Holy Ghost power to make it through. And we're guaranteed that Holy Ghost power if we'll exclusively keep our faith in Christ and Him crucified. Though it be ugly on the outside and ugly what transpired there, faith in it produces the most beautiful sight to God. Because once we're in Christ, by faith in what He did at the cross, God no longer views us as being sinful. He no longer views us as being unrighteous. He no longer views us as being unholy. He views us as His very own sons and daughters. Don't be deceived by the golden cup. Don't be deceived by the golden cup because it's out there right now. Don't be deceived by the adornments of the world, by the accoutrements of the world. But so many churches go thinking that will enhance their worship experience. It'll lead to spiritual death. It's the cross. One more time, it's the cross. And you say, Michelle, your illustration earlier about what was his name? 10-second Tom? 10-second Tom. That was a great illustration, really. How many times did Jesus have to remind his disciples when he was on earth? Really, if you studied out, it was almost daily. Son of Man's going to be crucified. I'm going to die, be in a tomb 3 days, but I'll arise again. They heard it time and time and time and time again. And what happened? When he died, they all went into hiding like a bunch of scared rabbits. But it was their destiny. It was their destiny to be stalwarts for God. And that's why I tell you, they didn't lose faith. They might have failed, but they didn't lose faith. And guess what? Every one of them came back and was that stalwart that God had destined them to be in spite of their failures, in spite of their fear. Don't become enamored with the things of the world. I'm going to close on this scripture, Luke 21:34. Jesus said, take heed, lest at any time your hearts become overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. He was warning the church that these things were going to happen, that there's going to be a lot of golden goblets out there. But the outside of the cup can look great and the inside be filthy. Conversely, the outside can sometimes look to be a mess, but the inside be pure as white as snow. This is God's redemption. It's the cross. It's the cross. There's no deviation. We can't forget it. We need to be reminded of it continually because we'll forget it. I'm here to tell you, you can't rise above spiritually what your preacher's preaching. It's impossible. That's why I hit the cross so hard, because I know that's the pinnacle. That's the pinnacle of power. That's the pinnacle of redemption. That's the pinnacle of getting God's help in the lives of His people. I really don't want to preach anything else. I want it at the heart, and it is. You know that. But I'm going to tell you something. I feel a prodding of the Holy Spirit. Give me 5 more minutes. If in your heart you would never say it in this church because you know what this church believes. But this is a loving warning from the Holy Spirit, I believe, to someone or somebody, or perhaps several. You're sick of hearing about the cross. In your heart, you'd never admit it. But you're like, I'm just going, yeah, he's going to preach the cross again. You need to fall on your face before God, if that's you, and repent. Because you're living in abomination if you feel that way. You're living in abomination if you feel that way about the cross of Christ. Because you've lost your understanding of how not only is the cross and what Jesus did on it the very bedrock of your redemption before God. You've lost sight of that glorious fact. Because if you're living and you understand the cross as you should, you'll never grow tired of hearing it preached. You'll never grow weary of somebody mentioning it. Now that's you. It's a loving warning from the Holy Spirit. You're not right with God. You've slipped in your faith. Get back to the cross. Let the Holy Spirit take you back there again to where you feel that joy like you first felt the first time you heard the message. Like what I shared with you, like what Brother Swaggart was talking about. Because it is going to take that for you to survive in these last days. If you're not in love with Christ and Him crucified, I'll guarantee you, it's not going to be very long before you fall for a false gospel. It's Christ and Him crucified. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, I thank You for the presence of Your Holy Spirit today. And Lord, I thank You that I can trust in the power of Your Holy Spirit, even when I know I haven't said it very well or brought it out very well. I tried, Lord, as best as I could to bring forth what I felt You wanted today, and I can only trust that Your Holy Spirit has completed that task as He always must do. I can do nothing. But Lord, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed right now, I feel You want this cup very personal, not to embarrass anyone. For it's Your goal to get them back to the cross. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you, have you grown cold in your faith? You say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, is there in your heart a wearisomeness of hearing about the cross? Is there in your soul no real joy when you hear about what Christ did for you on the cross anymore, and it's become to you very blasé. Maybe it's even become just a sentimental thing to you. The Holy Spirit today wants to bring you back in fullness to the joy of your salvation. And you can only have the joy of your salvation completely if you understand the glory of what He did for you on that cross. But that's you, the Holy Spirit's calling. Come back. He'll renew you. He'll do the renewing. Don't you try and work it up on your own self. You'll never do it. All the Holy Spirit's looking for out of you, if you've grown cold in your faith today, all He wants is for you to say, I want to come back. I come back to You, Lord Jesus. Will You send Your Holy Spirit now to do the work in me that needs to be done? And the Holy Spirit will do that work. You can't work it up and make up your own mind on it. You've got to come as a child and say, like you would to a mother and father when you're lost, and say, Mommy, Daddy, take me home. I don't know the way. The Holy Spirit has to treat us in that very way. But the good news is He'll do it if we'll invite Him through faith in Christ and Him crucified. Would everyone please stand? As far as I know, when I look out on the crowd today, everybody here knows Jesus. Or at least you've had plenty of ample opportunity to accept Him. And this altar's open now. If you know you're not right with Him, you feel free to come and we'll pray with you. But I just feel the Holy Spirit wants this altar service to go in this direction today. First of all, before we pray, I want to address two classes. Number one, if you've grown cold in your faith, and you know in your heart if you have, and you know your faith is cold, if your heart and spirit isn't set ablaze when you hear about the grand thing that Jesus did for you on that cross. If it's become blasé to you, if it's become something that's just a semantic or just something that's sentimental, you've grown cold in your faith. And God loves you and wants to bring you back. And if you don't get back, in His grace and mercy, He'll let you go for a long time. But if you willingly rebel, and it is rebellion, you're going to fall for a false gospel, ultimately. If you're not set ablaze in your spirit by the cross of Christ, you're ultimately going to turn to something else one day. I don't know when. That's the danger of growing cold in your faith. Let the Holy Spirit renew you today. He'll do it. You take the first step to Him. In this prayer, we're going to pray in a moment and say, Lord Jesus, that's me. I didn't mean to, but I've grown cold in my faith. Would you renew me today by the power of your Spirit, with the power of your Spirit? And He'll do it right where you stand. He'll do it right where you stand. Secondly, to those who you're still on fire for Jesus, and you know when you hear the cross preached, it so sets your soul on fire still, like it did the first time you heard it. The powers of darkness, I know, have been coming against you if you're in that latter state that I'm mentioning, like never before. For Satan knows his time is short, the Bible says, and he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I've heard preachers preach it before, oh, he's an old toothless lion. No, he's not. They're foolish for preaching that way. He's toothless if you're in Christ. But if your faith has grown cold, you're not in Christ, he ain't toothless. And even to the child of God who's on fire, he's going to fight, he's going to oppose, he's going to try to rob you of your destiny in Jesus Christ. And he knows the way to do that is to get you to change your faith. Maybe not abandon the cross completely, just hold something else alongside the cross. That won't work. He's going to try and attack you if you're on fire for God in these last days. But, here's the good thing. The Holy Spirit will keep you and preserve you as long as you keep your faith in Christ. You may be weak, you may be stumbling, but if your faith fails not in Christ and Him crucified, the Holy Spirit will keep working on you and keep working with you. Praise God. Let's bow our heads now and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we come in the name of Jesus. Lord, first, I pray with those who may have grown cold in their faith. Lord, right now, I sense that there are some that are praying in their heart and spirit. Lord Jesus, I've drifted, but I want to get back. I want to come back to where I was in you. Right now, just call upon Him in that way if that's you. Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit to do a work in my heart. And I sense mightily things are going on deep in people's hearts right now. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Holy Spirit, I turn this all over to you. Do your mighty work. Do your mighty work. Father, in the name of Jesus, to the child of God whose faith is squarely anchored in Christ and Him crucified, and there's been no wavering, I know they've been under attack. I know they've faced fierce opposition from the enemy of their soul. And Lord, I ask you right now to give us all a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, to those who need a refreshing from heaven right now, give it, Lord God. I know you won't refuse Him. Let Him bless you. Oh, I feel His Spirit moving powerfully. Let Him bless you right where you stand today. Let Him renew unto you the joy of your salvation. Oh, Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Give us more of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We need him. We need him. We need him in this last day. For Lord, though the powers of darkness be great, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Glory to your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. And amen. Would you just lift your hands now and praise him? Thank him for what he's done for you. Thank him for what he's doing. And praise him for what he's yet going to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to give Andy wisdom concerning his job situation, Lord. You lead him, you guide him, and you do what needs to be done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for your wonderful presence. Drink it up, church. Drink deep. The living water is flowing like a river right now. Lord Jesus, pour water upon the dry ground. Let it be a river today, Lord. Let us get in the river one more time and let the river get in us one more time today. The river of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we close, this church is yours, Lord Jesus. This church is yours. But Lord, let us keep believing. Let us keep on asking. And let us keep on seeking. And we're believing you that very soon we're going to have our own house of worship that will clearly identify us as a church that preaches the cross. Lord, not that our faith's in a church building. That's not the idea. But Lord, we need our distinctive place of worship where everybody in this town can know what this church is all about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I know you've begun a good work, Lord, and you'll complete it. And we turn it all over to you. Give us your wisdom. Give us your insight concerning every move. Give us unity of the Spirit, Lord, on every move. And we thank you for the presence and operation of your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Dennis, I'm going to ask you to come dismiss us in prayer today. As he's coming, God bless you for being in God's house today. I know I held you a little bit long today, but I felt the Lord really had something to say to us. I pray it's blessed you on Wednesday night. We'll be back in Daniel, and come be with us if you can. God bless you.